AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Corn and wheat futures traded lower for most of the session, while bean prices gave up mid-morning gains to settle near session lows. The cattle complex clawed back some of yesterday's steep losses, and summer month hogs traded to new contract highs.
Live from 2-2 Tuesday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Jeff Peterson from Heartland Farm Partners. Directly following the news, Brian Splitt from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. 36 degrees.
Okay.
Snow, rain mix, and the wind is blowing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. We're 42 and cloudy, and it's windy and just miserable outside here in the city fountains as well.
It's pretty nasty.
It's
pretty nasty out there. It is. Eastern Iowa is getting covered up with some snow. There is some freezing rain and rain on the back edge of that right now. But the western part of the state, temperatures are into the upper 40s, low 50s.
Okay.
And the sun is shining. The
so problem better days ahead.
The problem is this low pressure that is sitting over us right now is expected to stay stationary. And we've got this is going to hang on for a little while, at least until tomorrow. But, you know, it's the spring of the year, right? This stuff happens.
It happens. Sometimes it snows in April. Sure. Why not?
That's right. Tornado watches are extensive through southern Illinois, southwest Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee. There's a line of storms that have made their way into east central Louisiana and making their way through northern Mississippi right now as well. So heads up, West Virginia, watch out there, and in southern Ohio as well. So plenty of rough weather out there, guys. Just pay attention if you've got to be someplace, okay?
For sure.
Yep. All right. With that, let's go ahead and get started with the news.
You wanna? Okay. Yep. Wheat futures extended mid-morning losses with front-month soft red winter wheat futures ending the day near session lows. USDA rates 56% of the winter wheat crop in good to excellent condition as of March 31. That was a touch better than expected. Compared to last fall, the hard red winter wheat crop improved significantly with SRW crop conditions steady. May SRW futures touched resistance at yesterday's high before moving lower into the close. July HRW wheat futures were 13.5 cents lower today, 557.5. July SRW wheat down 11 cents, 561.75. July spring wheat closed at 637, down 7.5 cents, Chip.
Yeah, and I think the wheat market is trying to figure out exactly what is going on with some import-export restrictions in some countries and what is going on with some export incentives out of Russia. It's kind of a move. The global wheat market is a moving target right now, I think, is the bottom line.
Well, corn futures have erased all of last Thursday's price rally, with May futures today spiking support of Thursday's low before posting a low range close. Downside momentum is building in corn futures, and a close below 426 would open downside price risk to 421 and likely to the February low of 408.75.
Ooh.
The Chinese government is encouraging feed makers to use more corn already in China rather than importing more supplies. It's reported this action is aimed at reducing a domestic oversupply to support prices for farmers before the new crop planting season. May corn futures 9 cents lower, 426.5. July corn down 8.25 to 441. December corn futures closed at 468, down 6.75 cents. Chip, nothing like a basis push in China to get the farmers in the fields, I guess, huh?
that's right. You know, and the thing is, if China's got a surplus of corn, I would venture to say everybody's got a surplus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, soybean oil traded solidly higher at mid-morning, helping soybean futures hold on to solid gains. Bean oil held on to modest gains, but bean prices turned lower, with most contracts settling near session lows. Bean oil was supported by strength in crude oil futures. Crude still trading more than a dollar per barrel higher when grain trade wrapped up today. May soybean meal futures opened mid-range and nearly steady and near the midpoint of the range, then rallied to within a quarter of a penny of resistance at $12 before falling to spike support at $11.75. May beans posted the lowest close since March 7. May beans were 11¾ cents lower, $11.74. July beans down 11¾, $11.87¾ at the close. November beans closed at $11.77. Chip, that's down 5½ today.
Yeah, and the momentum in that market is obviously shifted after mid-morning. Bean oil didn't matter. The lower bean meal prices started to pull the beans lower.
July cotton today was 160 points lower, 91.71. On your livestock's cattle futures posted an inside trading day with a low range open and a mid to high range close. The market is on edge as it dissects the potential fallout of the transmission of bird flu from a dairy herd to a worker at a dairy in Texas. Traders were most concerned about consumers potentially losing faith in the safety of U.S. beef. April fat cattle $1.70 higher, 181.77½. June futures up 105 to 176.37½, and April feeders 307½ higher, 243.50. And on the snout side, lean hog futures backed off session highs with front month futures posting an inside trading day with a high range open and a low range close. April hogs 40 cents lower, 86.55. June contract up 22½ to 103.72½, Chip.
Yeah, regarding what is happening with the bird flu in the bovines, if you did not hear the conversation this morning with Dr. Fred Gingrich from the American Association of Bovine Practitioners, please go back and listen to that conversation. All right, Brian Splitt. Thank you, Davis. Brian Splitt, agmarket.net. How you doing, buddy?
Great, Chip. I want to tell you what a good job you guys do, because every time you or Davis said something, I was like, oh, I was about to say that, but can't say that now.
Well, sorry about that. Well, tell me about the momentum in corn.
Well, you know what? So I think everybody was really focused on the report day low today at 426.
Yep.
And, you know, the uptrend from the February low to the report day low came in around 27½. So tomorrow's going to be important, because it's going to either today's going to look like a little bit of a bear trap where we ran some stops below the report day low. If you noticed in the last 5 minutes, there was some buying that notched the market up a few cents in a pretty short order. So maybe we see a higher opening tonight, get back over 430, and then revisit the upper end of the trading range. But the momentum right now does not look good, especially considering the report, what the price action from the report closing over the 50 day. And there was absolutely no follow through there. Beans look good this morning. We were up near 12. You know, soy oil is running new highs in palm oil, supporting that. Crude oil trading over 85, supporting the soybean oil. But here we go. We had a very negative close there. I know Davis had mentioned the lowest close since March 7th. It was about halfway into that March 8th bar, which was a report day. We should see very good support in May soybeans at 11.65. That's 9 cents lower. If we take that out, I would expect a retest of contract lows. But I could see us hitting that, retracing some of this rally, and hopefully finding support at old resistance and seeing the buying turn back on. Wheat, I was surprised we were higher at all today in wheat with those crop conditions. You know, nearly 30% higher year over year. We're up to a really good start.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. You know, it was kind of a typical Tuesday, wasn't it? We thought we knew what the momentum was going to be in the markets yesterday. Some follow through had some markets turn around on us. Brian, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
You bet, Chip.
All right, Brian Splitt, agmarket.net. Jeff Peterson, up next here on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, some reversals in markets today. Some looking at you cattle, looking at what happened in the corn market, and then some continuation of the trends or momentum as well. And you know, when you get right down to it, like I said to Brian, it's kind of a typical Tuesday. Markets don't necessarily have their mind made up for what the trend is going to be into the end of the week. And as a result, there's some uncertainty on Tuesday's trade. So,
well, if the glass is half full, there's a little something for everybody in there, maybe.
Well, sure.
You know, why not?
That's right. That is right. Okay, let's get into the conversation with Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners. How are you, Jeff? It's great to talk with you again.
Well, doing great, Chip. And I'll have to say, you know, weather-wise here, you know, we're about 56 and sunny, so I don't know what's going on here, which is where you're at. So,
man, I tell you what, I'd take 56 and sunny right now. That would be a pleasure. That would be a pleasure. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the snow was all the way up into Wisconsin and parts of Minnesota. It's kind of one of those early April days that every now and then we've got to live with. So, okay, Jeff, we got the quarterly grain stocks reports. We got the prospective planting report last week. What jumped off at you? And when you take those changes and put them into the balance sheets for corn and soybeans, what kind, are there any trend changers in there?
Well, I'd love to be able to say there is some trend changers, but no, there really isn't, Chip. And as we dig into the numbers, you know, we were a little surprised, and I was surprised personally too, where the corn number came in. And, you know, we thought just based on talking to our customers out here and the thing we've experienced in the Western Corn Belt, we know that the corn yields, they were off in many areas, but we were also, beans were off more. And so the feeling that we had out here is that we thought we'd see a bigger pullback probably on some soybean just because they are not as confident that they're going to physically be able to make a profit on the beans. I know it's a little bit different than what you've been experiencing and some have been talking about further in the Eastern Corn Belt. And, you know, we thought as a result, we'd actually see that corn number creep a little higher. But here we are. These are the numbers we have to use. So as we plug those in and then we got to wrestle with the yield. And if we just start with the 181, you know, that's a tall task, but yet, if we use that as a starting point and make some minor tweaks on the beginning stocks and then you say, well, let's just start with the Outlook Forum numbers for demand just as a talking point.
Yep.
You know, we come in at about 2.279 billion bushels. And when we crank that over to the stocks to use, that gives us about a 15.5% stocks to use. So that is down from where the Outlook Forum had them at 17.2%. But to be honest with you, Chip, that's not enough of a change really to keep this market, keep the momentum. And the best way I looked at that, the market kind of trended lower into the report. We had a nice surge up higher. And I'm friendly this market longer term, but we just need some more time in here. We need some more time in here to be able to wait for some items to unpack. And don't get me wrong, there's items that can unpack and be positive yet. It's they're just not surfacing yet. So that's where we're at right now on the corn side.
Okay, I want to talk about what those items might be here in just a moment. But let's talk about that 15% stocks to use ratio. When you've got that in the outlook for the corn market, at 15% stocks to use, what price is in your mind?
Well, I don't know if you're going to want to hear this or not, Chip, but as we look down the road and let's say we come into to harvest time and let's say we do come in at that 15.5% stocks to use, however we get there, that would still suggest we're going to be hanging somewhere around that $4 level, give or take a few cents on the December futures.
That's about as an emotionless answer as I've heard to that question in forever, Jeff. I mean, that's just the facts. 15% stocks to use ratio in a $4 corn market, right?
Yeah, it is. Now, here's the positive. There's some positives in here yet. And you know, I probably tend to be a little bit more positive than negative on the market. But overall, that's what we have to know is in the cards down the road. But a number of things have to unfold. Okay. We got to be able to get that kind of yield acres. Yeah. But here's the thing. I think acres could creep up on us yet. Now, I'm probably friendly demand a little bit, I think, because of the situation we've got in South America on that safrina crop. And I know we're going to talk more about that a little bit. I'm probably a little bit more friendly, our corn export number down the road. So we might physically pull back the ending stocks a little bit. But let's be honest, in order for us to really get this market to gain some traction, we do need to have some discussion about the supply side, either in the U.S. or South America. We got to tighten that supply up. Now, the other side of that, though, I'd probably be feeling completely different about this, Chip, if the funds weren't sitting where they're at. Now, you know, they're somewhere around short 250,000 contracts, give or take, on the corn, you know, currently. And as a result of that, that's a pretty big position. And my belief is that they will not want to carry that position into some uncertainty that we're coming into for this time of year. And so I think that's a positive. Now, if we were sitting here, Chip, and they were long, or we were sitting here and they're physically near zero, you know, I'd feel a little bit differently about this market. Yep. But I think we're going to find some traction. I think this market can work its way up out of here. We just got to get some more supply items to come in.
Yeah. Okay. The demand that you were talking about, and great point, by the way, on the positioning of the funds and what it might mean for how the market's going to trade going forward. But the demand that has shown up in the export market, is that one of the items that longer term has you more positive on corn?
No, not really. Only because I just think it's minor tweaks. I mean, going down the road, based on what we're seeing for export sales on this 23 crop and ultimately the shipment pace, I mean, we can probably tighten up stocks 25 or 30 million bushels, but that's not going to be enough to do it. So I guess what I'm looking at, Chip, is let's go first to South America. We go down to South America and we look at, even before they had the really dry conditions this fall, because of profitability, they were talking about less acres for the safrina crop. And I do think we're going to see that play out. I think we'll see less acres. And I guess, so far, what we're showing is about 30% of that South American crop, the safrina corn crop, has probably got some little bit too dry conditions. Now, it's a little too early yet. They can still pick up some more moisture yet, but the clock is ticking. And what we're getting close to is we're getting close to that period of time where they do switch from their wet season to their dry season. And some of the forecasts that we're seeing would suggest that instead of just 30% of the crop being impacted, we probably do continue to see it, you know, inch its way higher. But that's going to take time in order for us to see that happen. That's one of the first items that I think has potential here to move this market higher from where we're at now.
Okay. How much of that safrina crop do you have to lose? I mean, does a 10% cut in the safrina crop impact us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, almost definitely. You know, and what's interesting is we start digging into that safrina crop already, even where a lot of the private analysts are at, and, you know, there's all kinds of different estimates out there, even where you look at where some of the private analysts are at on their current estimates of that crop would suggest that we would actually have a smaller crop than they would have had a year ago. So if you pull that number back another 5-6 million metric tons, maybe 8 million metric tons from where it's at right now, yeah, that can be enough in here to give this market some boost, especially when you've got a couple things going on here. I think the buyers are sitting out there. They just been going hand to mouth. And so all of a sudden, I think what the funds are hoping is that all of a sudden, a farmer's going to let go of a bunch of bushels. And they're going to be there to say, okay, well, that'll help us physically get out of our long. But I think what's going to happen, you're going to have some of the end users stepping in here too, saying, you know what, let's pick up a little of this. We don't know what the weather in South America is going to be. And by golly, with the U.S. switching from El Nino to La Nina, and we know that there's more to the weather than just that, well, maybe we shouldn't be positioned where we're at. Let's get a little coverage on just in case things get a little crazy after we get past and through the planting season.
Mm-hmm. Because right now, that just-in-case coverage seems non-existent, right?
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, one thing that we've actually seen, and we've seen this in the stocks numbers, that the farmers have got some bushels out there.
Oh, boy.
But what that's done, though, is it's made, if you're an end user, it's made you a little nervous. And the nervousness has showed up in the form of some pretty good basis levels. And we're seeing some good basis levels being paid. We're seeing some basis pushes coming into this April-May timeframe. And we're going to see more of that in here yet. But look out. Once we get into June, that could be a little bit different matter.
All right. All right, man, quick segment there. We are in the middle of a conversation with Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners. When we come back, Jeff, just let's run the balance sheet on beans. And with basically the same kind of questions. What's it going to take? We'll talk about it next.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, HRW wheat futures were 13.5 cents lower at 557.5. July SRW wheat down 11 cents, 561.75. May corn futures were 9 cents lower at 426.5. December corn futures closed at 468. That's down 6.75 cents. May soybean futures were 11.75 lower at 1174. November beans closed at 1177. That's down 5.5 cents today. July cotton futures were 160 points lower, 91.71. On your livestock's April fat cattle, $1.70 higher, 181.77.5. April feeders, $3.07.5 higher at 243.50. And April lean hog futures, 40 cents lower, 86.55. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back. We are in the middle of a conversation with Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners, here on AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We ran the balance sheet and some of the longer-term ideas on what is happening in the corn market with Jeff in the last segment. Let's do the same on soybeans. So, Jeff, when you got the prospective plantings report, the planting intentions, acres on soybeans, and the March 1 stocks, and plugged all that means into the balance sheet for 23-24 and 24-25, what did it kick out?
Well, as we dig in the numbers, we take that kind of same process and we throw in the 86.5 million acres and use a 52 yield. I probably feel probably a little more comfortable about the 52 yield on the soybeans than I do the 181 on the corn, but use that as a starting point. You know, bump up the beginning stocks just a little bit, up to 328 for the 24 crop here. And then just walk through with what USDA used in their outlook numbers. Now, there'll be some adjustments on that going forward. Probably have to back down the exports just a little bit from where they're at. They've got them at a 1.875, which that's pretty aggressive. But we'll just use that as a talking point since everybody's familiar with that. That gives us a 397 million bushel ending stock number. And we throw that over to stocks to use, and that's a 9% stocks to use. Now, that is down from the 9.9% that came out of the outlook for them, but a 9% stocks to use is still a big number, Chad's or Chip, especially when you consider that we're currently sitting there at about 7.6% is where the 23 is right now, according to the March WASDE report. So,
9% stock to use on beans is like getting an 18% on corn, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you think about this bean market going forward, what are some of the what are some of the issues that are going to be driving your price outlook and your risk management strategies?
Yeah, so where we start at is we go ahead and we take that 9% stocks use. And just like we did over on the corn side, we say, okay, what does that look like come this fall on November futures? And when we plug that in and go back and look at some of our regression analysis on that, and granted, it's a long ways out, but that brings you in that 10-1070 type area, Chip, on the November futures, which that's getting down there. And unfortunately, I don't think we have any of our customers that we've talked to that honestly, when you take a basis off of that, that could make any money on soybeans.
Right.
Now between now and then, there'll be a lot of different changes that's going to happen. Just like what we talked about in the weather, the weather's going to be the driver. The only thing we don't have in the weather though, is that as important as we talked about South American weather being for the Safrina corn crop, well, their bean crop is made right now, and it's just a matter of probably working its way a little bit lower. I think their numbers are going to come down. I don't think we're going to expect to see any major adjustments on Argentina's numbers. The big thing we have to realize is that Argentina's got a lot better crop, almost twice the crop on the bean side that they had last year. So as a result, where we're saying, with the current estimates on South America, talking about, when you bring that all together, we've got a little bit smaller crop than there was last year. That isn't the case on beans. On beans, we actually, as you bring the numbers together, they've got a little bigger crop than they would have had, even with the pullback on basically the production on Brazil. And so any little hiccups that there is on weather, and there'll be some in the U.S. as we go forward, we're going to have our selling shoes on to make some sales in there. And the other side on both the corn and the beans that we want to think about, though, they still are short. They're short in the bean side. They don't have near the size of position on, but let's say they're still short, taking into account futures and options, maybe 125,000 contracts. Don't let us kid ourselves. So those funds are looking at where those 100-day moving averages at. Now, why are they looking at that? They know that you get up in that area, what's going to happen is the funds will want to get out of their positions quicker. Now, on the soybean side, if we take a look on the May futures, that 100-day moving average is setting up there about 1259. Now, it didn't quite seem so far when we were putting in our high and move setting back there on the 21st of March, we were sitting there at 1226. That didn't seem so far away. Now it seems like quite a ways away now on the bean side, but the market's still got an eye on it. I failed to mention this back on the corn side, but the corn 100-day moving average is sitting there at 462. Well, that's only about 36 cents away from where our close was here today. So those are going to come into play, and those are going to be some important areas for us to watch.
Okay. All right. Very good. The question that I have gotten the most since the prospective planning report was released is that the smallest corn acreage estimate that we are going to see for 2024? Jeff, honestly, I want to answer that's the lowest corn and soybean acreage estimate that we're going to get on 2024. To me, it seems like there's room to the upside on both.
Well, I definitely see your point there. For us, I would say we believe that we will see higher going down the road. Could we see 2 million more acres of corn? Yeah, we could. Yeah. We could. Yeah. One of the big questions, though, that comes back on the soybeans, though, is honestly how much bigger that number gets or how it changes. It's going to be a function of the double crop soybeans. Mm-hmm. So as we think about that, last year, the double crop beans made up about 7% of ultimately all those acres. And so when we just put some quick numbers on that, you know, that's about 5.5-6 million acres of beans. Now, what I can tell is that with these prices that we've got right now, when profitability gets really low, we see that number slide down to about 4%. Now, I don't think we'll get all the way down to 4%. I think it's probably going to settle in the 5% area. But overall, I think that's probably one of the items that will keep us from getting maybe much of an increase from here on the bean side will ultimately be the fact that might not be as much enthusiasm about the double crop beans because of where the price is at.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that was a big factor last year, no doubt about it. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah, it's a good reasoning to keep in mind there. Principal crop acres. A year ago, 319.6. This year, it's projected to be 313.3. What in the heck happened?
Well, Chip, I was hoping you had the answer for that. But here's a few of our thoughts. Let's walk this out just a little bit deeper.
Good.
So we take the major crops, which is important, but we then like to add the CRP number to it. And then we like to add the prevent plant number from past years. Okay. And so what that looks like then is it changes the number. Obviously, it makes it bigger, but we go back to 2022. And that would be 335.4 million acres. Now, for 2023, it went up 5.379 million all the way up to 340.8 million acres. And then along comes this year and their current number, when we take some liberties, we increased CRP from last year. We came in with a more normal type prevent plant. And we'll see. Maybe we're too high on our prevent plant number at this point. But when we bring those numbers together, then that brings us in at 334.35 million acres, which is still 6.45 million acres, you know, less than where it was last year. But something interesting about this, when we compare where we're at right now forecasted for 24, and we look back to, well, what was that like in 22?
Right.
You know, we're down about a million acres. So the big question becomes, what in the heck happened with 23? And I have a few ideas on that. Okay. So as we dig into that 2023, and I don't have the answer, but there's a few things to look at. What I didn't realize is that because it was really dry, there was definitely a lot of CRP that did get released and got cut. And what I'm being told by some reliable sources is that ultimately the acres of CRP that got released and got cut, that ends up coming into the hay acres. So we've got a little bit of double counting in my mind going on there, but I don't think it amounts to that big number. So, I mean, that's one of the possibilities. We would overall say that, you know what, if at the 334.359, which is taking really the current estimate on the principal acres and adding CRP and prevent plant, that doesn't feel really too bad compared to where we were, because our belief is that each year we're losing about 600,000, maybe 700,000 acres to urban sprawl. So I can get behind the number where we're at. I just can't explain why in the heck we were so high last year.
Yeah. Okay. So you got to fix last year's problems before you can figure out this year's. I like that. I like that. I don't know if that's going to get us anywhere or not, Jeff, but I certainly understand exactly what you're talking about. And you know, let's come at it from this angle then. The 176.5 combined corn and soybean acres. That feels light, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does a little bit, but ultimately though, I do think the thing that we're hearing out there is that, and this gets back to the reason I brought up the discussion on the double crop beans, you know, that can swing a few acres around. We know that there's been a little bit more CRP. One of the things I think as we go forward, though, I think what we got to remember is that I still think the cotton number on the cotton acres is going to be higher. Okay. We think it could be another maybe 400,000. We'll see how planning goes here. But I think that could pull a few acres away. And then, honestly, we think hay ground. We do think the hay number could come in a little bigger. And that's a tough one, especially since we physically have seen that, well, that hay acre number from last year is a little probably overinflated because of that emergency CRP cutting, Jeff.
Right. Which has been opened up again for this year. Jeff, great conversation. I sure enjoy it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Always enjoy talking. Look forward to talking to you again next time.
That's fantastic. Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners. Davis is going to take you home. He'll be here next on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
In the morning, you're coffeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Well, if by we you mean Big Apple Joe and myself, your pal, Davis Michelson, then you've got it right here on AgriTalk on your Tuesday afternoon. Chip apparently saw something shiny in the woods. He hit the eject button and he's headed for parts unknown. I don't know what's going on here.
He went chasing after it.
He did. That's, I mean, you know, you like the guy, but man, he's easily distracted by shiny things. So I'm going to take you out here, and I thought, well, what a great opportunity to update you on some spring fertilizer prices. I've got some fresh numbers. I'm still awaiting some others now. Landowner subscribers already know this. They saw it in the most recent edition of the Landowner newsletter, which was out over the weekend, where I do a page there. But we do have an update since then. In the Landowner, I sort of do a month-to-month thing. Fertilizer prices continued moderately higher through March. And then I compare to the end of February, all five of the finished fertilizer products that we analyze ended March with gains. So all of the fertilizers that that we cover, these are your major products, you know which ones they are, that all higher. The gains across the fertilizer space supported a 2.19% increase in our nutrient composite index. That's our basket, like we make everything into a single figure to help us figure out how well fertilizer is priced compared to corn. So we're up 2.19% in March on fertilizer. Expected new crop corn revenue based on December 24 corn futures firmed 5.88%. Now, this was written last week. We've seen quite a tail in the corn market since then, just already, and it's only Tuesday. In that report, urea led gains up 17.21 to a Midwest average of 573.14. Followed by a $15.31 rise in potash prices. Vitamin K now priced at $544.23 per short ton. UAN solutions, a bit of a concern here. Higher during the month, up a mild, on 28%, we're up a mild $6.32 to $382.42 per short ton. 32% is up $11.50 on the month to $393.75. Now, it's significant to take a look at the price relationships here between the nitrogen products. We've got urea overpriced compared to anhydrous ammonia. We've got 32% overpriced, 28% overpriced compared to anhydrous ammonia. Typically what that means to us is that we see anhydrous ammonia rise to try and catch up with everybody else. There's a decent potential for that as heading into planting season here. Anhydrous ammonia on the month. Now, this is from end of February to end of March. Anhydrous up $11.05 per short ton to a Midwest average of $781.13. That put Iowa at $761 and Illinois at $801.25 in its most recent report. That data came out the week of March. The last week in March, actually. And so we've got fresh data for one of these states today. They do Illinois every other Tuesday, and every other Thursday they do Iowa. So for the sake of comparison, let's have a look at what Illinois did from report to report. This is the most recent data out, wasn't it? Oh, yes, just today. This is just Illinois. But we've got anhydrous ammonia up $9, $770. We got urea down 30. At $576.67, 32% is up $2.92, $396.67. Now remember, this is the state of Illinois. We'll get this week's data for Iowa on Thursday, and maybe we should check back in then. But you've got DAP was unchanged, $7.85 in Illinois. MAP down $13.17 at $843.17. And MAP, oh, this is interesting. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes, MAP at $843.17. There's potash down $15.45 to $550.75. Farm diesel in Illinois, most recent report week, up 24 cents to $3.45 per gallon on average. And we got LP at $1.61 per gallon. That's unchanged. Okay, so we see a rise in anhydrous ammonia. We see a deep dip in urea. This is very interesting. We'll have to keep an eye on these, obviously. But the thing is, you know, the fall season was robust, as they say. Everybody's out, you know, there was plenty of opportunity to put down fall fertilizer. And then February, you might remember it was quite warm, unseasonably so. So some field work was done then. And the problem with that is the timing. That February period, you know, sort of late January, February, March, that's kind of refill period after fall. Now, as production brings product to the market, if it's immediately spread onto fields, well, now we got to go back into production mode. And so it could potentially cause a problem. My analysis, I don't know. I even hate to say numbers. When we're talking just anhydrous ammonia, I think there's room for another $50 to $65 in the per ton anhydrous price. Now, currently, we're at our most recent average is at $781.13, although we've seen some increases just since then in one of our two Midwest states. So we got to watch out for that. A little bit rough timing if you have unfilled needs. I wrote in the landowner, I got all colloquial. As my granddad would say, you best get on the stick. I don't think I need to tell you that. But along those lines, time is also ripe to talk side dress needs with your preferred supplier. Let's get those needs locked in, and we'll be ready when the market comes our way. Okay, let's talk climate here. Yes, Climate Prediction Center updated April 2nd. This is valid April 8th through the 12th, the 6 to 10 day outlook. Above normal temperatures pretty much everywhere except for where New Mexico and Arizona meet the Mexico border. There we've got below normal temperatures. And then looking at the 6 to 10 day for precip, we go about from Southern California to International Falls, Minnesota, and everybody east of there is above normal precipitation expected in the next 6 to 10 days. Parts west, below normal precip. And then moving over to the 7 to or 8 to 14 day, pretty much the whole country, just a little splotch of Southern Texas below normal. Everybody else above normal, and then near normal precipitation over the Corn Belt, parts east, wetter, parts west, drier. Thanks for joining us today. Tomorrow morning, we got Jim Mintert and Farmer Forum, Ben Renchie, Glenn Newcomer, Clayton Pope from Clayton Pope Commodities tomorrow afternoon, AgriTalk.